Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J., here, barely. And Melissa Kay is with us. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Hi, glad to have you in studio today. It's nice. We could have picked a better day for you. I'm sorry. We the weather did not cooperate. We thought that it was going to. Mother Nature didn't do it though.
Well, looking at the rest of the forecast this week, I think it was today or no day.
Yeah. We'll get in more into that. Of course, we'll get updates from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, including right at 8:04, where they will join us live and direct. Looking forward to that. Before that though, we've got to get into our National Day of Calendar. We'll touch on that in just a little bit. Also got a couple of interesting articles about most caring cities in the U.S. Some really good stories of the day from around the U.S. and around the whole world, really. And just some other fun stuff for us to get into today. Look, we all understand what time of the year it is.
Winter.
It's the last... Yes. Yes, Melissa, yes. That's the season it is.
Okay.
But what time of year it is, we are at the end of the year,
yes. Which
means everybody is phoning it in. Like, essentially. You know, other than people that have to do their jobs and everything, mm-hmm. like you and I, and, you know, our police officers and, you know, teachers out there and many other people and stuff, there's a lot of people that just kind of trying to get to the end of the year here.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the holidays, I should say.
Yes.
Make their way to Christmas, mm-hmm. Christmas Eve. And Christmas, and then kind of moving from there. And if your family celebrates any other days, then maybe those.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you are looking to get to New Year's. And by that, really starting over, getting into the beginning of the new year and all this.
Starting afresh.
There's not a whole lot out there as far as stories and different things go. A lot of news is, you know, waiting to be broken until the next year. If that, they're waiting for the kind of cycles to kind of wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that news is dead, obviously. That never happens.
There's still things happening like yesterday.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So there is still quite a bit going on. All right. Let's talk about this then. Let's go ahead and get right into this because I thought this would be a good one. Wisconsin has the most caring city in all the U.S.
All right.
I think this
Wisconsin does.
Yes. Whether it's by population, hospitality, quality of life, or consideration for those less fortunate, some cities are known for being more caring than others. Here in the Midwest, I think that a lot of people hang their hat on this, if you will.
Midwest nice.
According to a list compiled by Wallet Hub, the most caring city in all of Wisconsin is... I'm going to take a stab at this one. I love that drum roll.
Madison?
That was a great drum roll. You serious?
Yeah.
Madison.
Yeah.
You are just, this morning, you are really, it's Madison. What is going on with you? You've been here 5 minutes and you're on fire already. Like, boom, boom, just already. That ain't fair. Is that what happens? You were out of studio for a couple of days and you come back and you're a little more, that was great. Madison, actually, completely correct.
All right.
Nicely done.
Well, you know, it's a lovely town.
I've always been a huge fan of Madison.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite cities, and honestly, in all of America. Like, I love Madison that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know it was that this kind of like a level of caring or anything. The most caring city is in all of Wisconsin is Madison. Madison also is ranked as the most caring city in the entire United States.
You know, that's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool. It seems a little like... I don't know. I didn't know. It can't be. It must be. There must be something I'm misreading. And not because Madison isn't that cool, isn't that great, isn't that caring. It's just, what are the odds?
What are the odds? It's a big nation.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of people here.
According to Wallet Hub, quote, in order to determine the most caring cities in America, Wallet Hub compared the 100 most populated cities across three key dimensions. Caring for the community, caring for the vulnerable, and caring in the workforce. We then evaluated those dimensions using 39 relevant metrics, which are listed throughout the course of the article here and everything. Mostly things that you can kind of consider that you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And they went by square root. They like really went down by the...
These sound like they really dug into this.
Yeah. Everything I was saying about phoning it in, Wallet Hub didn't do that. Apparently,
they went door to door.
Yeah,
how nice are you? On a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, what? It's 3 in the morning.
Right now, I am not nice. No, and then in Madison, oh, man. Well, you know, most days I'm probably a 6, but today I'm at least a 5 because I answered the door.
They in Madison, they got there like around afternoon. So everybody was in a decent mood by the time everybody else they were bugging in the morning and stuff. Just some other stuff. Caring means having a connection with others and being concerned for their well-being. It can be expressed in many different ways, from helping an elderly person across the street to fighting a house fire. And this is two very extremes.
Those are very extreme.
Wait a minute. What are you doing here? What kind of day do you have at Wallet Hub? What are they doing over there? As a whole, America has shown their care through charitable giving more and more. According to Giving USA, Americans donated a record $471 billion in 2021.
Wow.
An increase of 5.1% from the previous years when adjusting to for inflation. However, even if you can't afford to give away your income, especially during the difficult conditions of this past couple of years, there are plenty of other ways to show kindness to others. We are also, as far as Wisconsin goes, but the Midwest in general leads the nation in volunteer hours.
Mm.
In order to identify the areas that care the most, Wallet Hub compared the 100 largest cities across 39 key indicators of a compassionate spirit. Their data set ranges from the share of sheltered homeless persons to volunteering hours per capita to the share of income donated to charity.
Wow. That's a pretty broad study, and they included a lot of, 39 parameters.
So, as we mentioned, Madison, number one, no shocker there, as we've already covered that. But I thought number two, number three were pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I honestly would ask you if you want to take a guess at these, Melissa, but we've only got a 3-hour show. And I don't generally...
There's a lot of cities in Wisconsin.
This is in the nation.
Okay.
This is in the entire nation, so it would make it even harder.
Yes.
Boston, number two.
Really?
New York, number three.
Hmm. Wow.
Watch out, New York. You might get a nice reputation. The New Yorker reputation might be going out the window here or something like that. Virginia Beach, number four, and Fremont, California, number five.
Interesting spread.
Getting back to the Midwest, I see that Minneapolis kind of shows up at 13, St. Paul at 15.
Not bad.
Let's see. And then it gets pretty, yeah. Oh, Anchorage, Alaska, at number 30.
All right.
Chicago at 34. Let's see here. It gets pretty I'm trying to see if there's any other. Here we go. Milwaukee at number 53.
Okay.
And again, this is a top 100. So not bad. Not bad.
Oh, middle of the pack.
Trying to see. Now, of course, we have to look at the extremes here. Who's at the bottom of the list here? Who is the Grinch of these states? Cities, I should say. Birmingham, Alabama, number 100.
Okay.
San Bernardino, California. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Houston, Texas. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Memphis, Tennessee round out the bottom five. Now, I'm looking at these, and outside of Alabama, most of these do rank highly in certain categories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like they were just brought down by other ones. So they go by, they got, of course, the total score. Caring for the community, caring for the vulnerable, and caring in the workforce. Some of these states did okay in one category, but really bad in the other one or something like that. Like, it looks like Alabama is kind of bad in all these categories. Whereas, San Bernardino, California, it looks like they just did badly in the way they treat their workforce.
Ah.
Which, that's not good either. Well, none of these are good that you're doing if you're ranking bad in them. But.
No. But I would say that the fact that most of those that were lower on the list are also in the southern part of this country speaks to our level of poverty in the southern part of the country.
I think it's rougher than, unless you've got friends and family down that way, it's rougher than I think most of us have seen any real reporting done on.
Mm-hmm.
They keep talking about inflation. They keep talking about jumps in prices and these different things. But I'm not seeing like real reporting like with families, like where they're getting down there and actually talking to people necessarily and those kind of things. It's mostly just what we're seeing in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And not really that. If you talk to, I have a former student and I have a friend down in Alabama. And I've got my papa, my aunts and uncles in Georgia and that. Mm-hmm. And the difference between those two states, just that, is crazy to me. Let alone when I talk to my friends in like Austin or down in Houston, mm-hmm. Same type of thing. Where those two areas are different. Let alone Texas is so different from way Alabama is struggling. And
yeah,
it's a strong point to make. And I don't know if we could talk about it enough. I know we're up here in the Midwest, but it's weird. It's as if we're all connected, Melissa. It's as if, you know, where our borders are, it's not that, you know, things just don't stop right there and everything.
No, they don't. Our levels of poverty in that part of the country are bad. Mm. And we have poverty here in our own state, in pockets of our own state. We have a couple, Adams County, Richland County, they are the poorest in our state. And if you look at crime rates, if you look at things of that nature, they really do go hand in hand. So I'm not surprised that some of those categories, you know, caring about our environment. How can you care about the environment when you can't care for your family?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so many things, like you said, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I wanted to. Oh, did you have something?
But else? I'm just gonna say, awesome that Madison is way up there at top.
Yeah. You know,
we're doing all right. And overall, we are doing better. We're doing better than we have in an awfully long time. Can we still improve? Absolutely.
There's work to be done.
Yes.
I didn't even get a chance to really, because I wanted to dive right into this most caring thing and everything. I had this big buildup, and it got all mucked up on me. So I didn't even get to ask you, how are you doing this morning? How was it driving in?
It was snowy, so I had to go a little slower than I had planned. So I got here a little later than I had planned to. But, you know, it's all right. It's all good. We're here. Made it. On the road. The whole way.
You look comfortable. You look very comfortable today. Like, you got a very comfortable look to you.
I'm cozy.
Yeah, that's the word, cozy. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I gotta start doing that more. I gotta start dressing
it's,
more cozy.
It's cold out,
it
man.
Seems fun.
Single
seems
digits.
Warm too. Like, yeah. We got some fun things lined up for you today. Of course, after Mel and I are done hanging out, we will kick off Morning Magazine for the week in part one. Boy, does this feel good to say. Congressman Ron Kind going to join us one more time. The congressman has joined us over the years. We've always enjoyed talking with him. Pam and I working diligently to try to be able to get him on once more before he retired. And here we are. We are at that day. I've got about 90 questions for him in 27 minutes. I don't think I'm going to be able to get them all in. But if you've been listening to this station for a while, you know that this is it technically is a political interview. It isn't also. It is somebody who has joined his station for a very long time, and we're looking forward to talking with again one
fellow
more time.
Wisconsinite that cares about this state.
Talk about a guy who has put a lot of time into this state. Yeah, Congressman Kind certainly has done that.
Is one of your questions asking him what he's in talks with the White House about for his next job?
No. What? Good question. It's very definitely good. Yeah. United States, here in these United States, we welcome certain guests that we are looking forward to having on. And the United Way is in part two.
Okay.
So looking forward to that. this is funny. So I had the microphone right here. And I had it blocking my second guest.
Yeah.
I never set the microphone right there. Because I've been trying to get the volume, like if I sound a little bit better this way than if it's up here.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying some different things that a couple of other DJs were talking to me about.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying some different things, but then it got in the way. So that's why I said United States there, because I see coming up in part two. I'm like, wait a minute.
We're talking with the United States.
I didn't prepare enough questions for that. I don't think the 27 minutes is enough time. I don't.
Probably not.
Probably better than we talked to United Way in part two. That's looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. And we got some good stuff on our radio station as far as sports going on today. A little bit later on our sister station, WIRI at 6:55, our pregame will kick off. Nakusa Boys basketball hosting Northern Lutheran. Looking forward to that. That should be a great one right there. Randy and Don on the call for that one. You know it is going to sound good. And just rewinding real quickly, if you did not get a chance to catch it last night on our sister station again, we had some high school girls basketball, Assumption taking on Loyal.
Mm.
Assumption girls 66, Loyal 21. Nicely done, Assumption Royals. Take a break right here. We'll get into our National Day of Calendar. When we come back, it's Melissa and James taking it through your morning right here on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. It is 7:21 on the clock. I got like 8 clocks around me, and I couldn't find one of them for 2 seconds.
Well, they're all little.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you. They are. And I don't know why, but these glasses, it takes a little getting used to being able to see through these for some reason. Let's see. Let's dive into our national day of calendar for this December 20th, 2022. Man, the December is just flying right by.
It's a tripping along.
It is time, and let us see what is fun about today. So it is Do-It-Yourself Day. Or, I'm sorry, Dot Your Eyes Day. Dot Your Eyes Day.
But you should do it yourself.
Yeah, I guess you should. I thought that said DIY for a second. Do it yourself. Just like you, we're intrigued by this unique holiday. We know the saying, dot your I's and cross your T's. Today, when we up our game, search notches higher. Several notches higher. There's no evidence of how the day began or who started it. We only imagine it was someone who did everything impeccably. It's just such a natural thing for me to do this, mm-hmm. You know, in everything, whatever I'm doing. Now, that may make it even worse when I mess things up.
Well, that's the thing, because you're so used to doing it. When I go back and proofread something I've written and I forgot to dot an I or cross a T, I'm like, man, like, how did I forget that?
It's not, and I mean, you know, and I think that this, they're using this certainly as a bit of a metaphor too, you know, for anything in life, obviously not just the specifics of grammar, but doing, you know, being diligent about things in life, making sure that you finish a project. Did I tighten the bolts on the car before when I put the spare
those
on?
Lug nuts.
I'm sure it's fine. 5 minutes down the road, and you know, it's
there
not.
Goes your tire.
Should have crossed the T's.
Those jots and tittles are important.
I will say that it also can be, you know, one of those things that can be a little like daunting. The younger me did this too much. Mm-hmm. I would dot my I's, cross my T's. Then I wasn't confident. Am I sure I got every I? Am I sure I got every T? I got to go over it.
Double check
it
again.
Mm-hmm. It can get a little bit crazy doing it too much there, I think.
Yes.
Like most things, too much of anything, bad thing. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. It is also Go Caroling Day.
Oh, lovely.
That is a fun one. Have you ever actually like gone caroling, house to house kind of caroling?
Yeah, a couple different times. There's a couple different singing groups that I've been a part of that used to do that. My family, when years ago, we would go caroling at the nursing home before we'd have our family Christmas.
I like that.
But yeah, it's been a few years.
I've tried to do this, but I've been kicked out of every band I was in. I actually had one group of carolers tell me they were breaking up over artistic differences, but they actually just wanted me out of the band. They just wanted me out of there. They just wanted
me out. Well, it was nice of them to, you know,
they tried.
They gloss it over with.
you're horrible. We need you to leave, please. You're bringing everybody down.
Here's a tambourine. Don't sing.
Yes.
We think your triangle. Artistic talents could be better utilized with this triangle.
Oh, holy night. And I just hit the little triangle.
Never mind. You get a rain stick.
Yes. And a rain stick, and they actually make me wear a mask. Not because they're worried about me getting anybody sick.
They just want to muffle anything that's coming out.
Yes. Any fan of old classic movies knows that carolers were one of the hallmarks of any Christmas-themed movie. Whether it was It's a Wonderful Life or Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, you could be certain at some point some warmly bedecked... what is that word?
Bedecked.
Bedecked singers. I've never heard that word. Bedecked.
Yeah, warmly bedecked.
I'm not sure.
Cozily bedecked today.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I like it. I like the word. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Arrives to someone's doorstep. So do you think the generations, like a couple generations down, they're not even going to know what this is? They see this in an old movie and they're like, what are those people doing walking
caroling?
Up to that house and singing to those strangers? I don't know how much it exists still. I'm generally asking rhetorically. I don't really...
I don't think it's going to disappear completely. It's, I think, changed some. There is a group, I'm actually looking for the story because I want to get the village right. Village of Cross Plains, they went caroling just here recently on horseback.
Oh, yeah. I like that. That'd be fun.
I thought that was a cool story. I didn't get to report on it. But yeah, they were walking around the city on horses.
Nice.
caroling.
I like that.
So
that's a good idea. Caroling has a long history in the world, potentially existing longer than Christmas itself, and having moved into that religious practice from much older roots. This is no surprise, given the act of singing has long been a form of religious observance, and religious hymns are certainly not a new way of honoring one's faith. Caroling itself, however, is specifically used to reference those songs and traditions of Christmas, and for many years was a heavily practiced tradition that many people eagerly took part in, whether by joining the carolers or by avidly awaiting their arrival at their doorsteps as avatars of Christmas cheer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, choir singing together, many of the schools are having choir concerts here upcoming Christmas. I think it'll be around for a good long while.
Wassailing was another tradition that was quite similar in many ways, but was actually used to travel to the orchards and other places where cider was produced. It was believed that singing to the trees would promote a good harvest for the year and was almost exclusively practiced in England.
Here we go, a-wassailing among the leaves so green.
We have been singing to plants and trees and all this for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool, actually. I think that's kind of interesting. Wassailing is also a great word.
It's fun.
The tradition of wassailing falls into two distinct categories, the house visiting wassailing and the orchard visiting wassailing. Wow, is that cool? Is that interesting? Huh. I thought I'd Google the word because I've never actually looked into the word.
The orchard part of it. I'd never heard of that.
I'd never heard of that. Yeah,
I just,
never.
It was a word in a song that was kind of fun to say.
Exactly. Same boat here. Yeah. And to wassail has a very different meaning than I would have thought. It's a weird way.
Because I thought it was just caroling.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize it was singing to trees.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that more often.
It's also National It's National Sangria Day.
Sangria.
It's some good stuff. It's
tasty stuff. You drink it too fast, James. It's going to creep up on you.
You're telling me. It's hard to think of many things that could be better than on a day dedicated to wine. National Sangria Day is the perfect excuse to meet with friends and sample the delicious fruity drink that is one of Spain's claims to fame in the area of culinary arts.
This seems like a summertime drink to me.
Yeah,
like I'm not going to drink sangria at Christmas. I want mulled wine.
Take a siesta to sip Spanish and Portuguese punch made with wine and sweeteners and flavor the fruits like berries, oranges, and mangoes. And I've only had it like a couple times, but it was always in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Now, siesta, sign me up.
Yep.
I want one of them every day.
Yeah.
But I'm more inclined to want to drink warm wine than cold, chilled, sweetened, and full of fruit.
Trying to think of a warm wine. I know what you're talking about. I just can't.
Let's see. What is it called? There's a German wine that is served warm, and it'll come to me.
Yeah.
It starts with a G. Mm. But then also just mulled wines that you can make and add different spices to. You put peppercorns in it and cinnamon sticks.
I'd try that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'd try that, definitely. And what a perfect day for this. It is Games Day.
Yay.
What kind of games do you most enjoy? Board games, card games, maybe video games? Whatever game is your favorite, this is the day to play it and have some fun for a change. After all, what better break could you take from a stressful day, everyday life, than to partake in Games Day? As generation upon generation of people the world over would agree, playing games is a great way to just kick back, relax, and have some fun with friends and family.
Games are so much fun, and it's a great thing to do with family. Like I was telling you guys yesterday, we played a lot of games, like kind of fast-paced, at my family Christmas. But it's fun to laugh together I'm sorry. I'm reliving memories of
right on. Good.
Pretending to be a pig and trying to get people to guess the big bad wolf. My Aunt Susan. I can't get over you doing that.
That's
so hilarious.
Good.
Yeah.
The very first of these soon to become extremely popular events took place in London on December 20th in 1975. In a short period of time, the events took over. So it's a fun one.
Hmm.
There's so many different things that you could do too, games wise.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I think one of the fun things to do today, I think you mix this up. I think it's a good day to people don't have a lot of chances, or some people do, I suppose, but not everybody, most, it seems like most people don't have a chance to play like maybe a game by themselves. Maybe you miss playing solitaire. Maybe you miss playing a video game or something like that.
Yeah, or one of the apps on your phone.
Yes, yes. So I say put some time aside for that. And then put some time aside to play like a board game or a video game with some family or friends or something.
Or even
like
something easy like I Spy that doesn't require anything other than your imagination.
I think mixing it up. I think doing a little bit of both and everything would be kind of fun. But dedicating the day to play, to have some fun.
You know, we always need more excuses to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But the world's, things are going to keep moving. You know, the world's going to keep moving and everything. Catch up. You get all caught up in it, everything.
And when you've wore yourself out with play, you should have some Glühwein, which is the German mulled wine I was trying to think of.
Ah, nice, nice. Well done. I've never heard of that, but I like that word. It's a good word right there. We will go ahead and get to Melissa's news now. We'll come back, have some more fun. We got plenty more things coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning's here at WFHR.
Christmas with us.
Hope you're having a great start to your morning out there. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa and James here with you. 7:39 on the clock. And I got an interesting one here, Melissa. This kid. I came across this story this week, and I had to almost read it twice, just because it was so good and such an interesting story. And it comes to us from, let's see here. Yep, from businessnews.com. All right. So at 10 years old, Isla Davis turned her passion for baking into a full-scale business by launching Isis Divine Desserts, a small dessert business operating out of a shed on her parents' property.
Wow.
The unprecedented success of Isla's business promoted her mother, Allison, to quit her job and become her full-time business partner. An entrepreneurial crossroad that she concluded was, quote, the best to come together. Our best to come together.
Hmm.
I had the idea to start my own business, and I had always seen like kids baking championship, and I knew that a lot of them had their own business, and I wanted to be just like that. Baking entrepreneur Isla Davis said on Mornings with Maria. Having celebrated her 11th birthday by joining the host Maria Bartagoli Wednesday morning for this show. Isla found inspiration to turn her passion into profit through the hit Broadway musical The Waitress, which tells the story of a small-town baker who turned her dream into a reality.
Hmm.
After the idea for a self-sought baking business was hatched, Isla's mother set up a table at the end of the driveway with an umbrella, and the rest was history. And I'm going to show Melissa just a picture of Isla's little shed here.
Nice. She's got a little shed that opens up and has the shelves in it with her baked goods on it.
Got a nice little little store. Yeah. Nothing too special or anything like that, which you would predict. But you could see their house in the background. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, 20 feet, not even from the house.
Yeah, that's pretty close. But roadside stand.
So that way, you know, where she, you know, her working this, you know, you wouldn't be as worried as a parent or anything like that. Quote, one day when I came home from school, my mom had set up a little table at the end of our driveway, and we had a very little, very small table with an umbrella up in our sign. And then that was how we got started.
Hmm.
But we eventually built our shed, and when we got shelves, then here we are. Isla's mother, Allison, said the business started off very slow, but through the help of their own website and social media, suddenly took off. With the massive uptick in business, Allison quickly realized that her daughter would not be able to keep up with all the baking demands on her own.
Hmm.
Quote, time was the enemy, and we just didn't have enough of it. And so I decided that it was the best to come together with Isla and form a partnership. And so now I help her bake, and Isla kind of tells me what to do in the morning. and she helps prep everything so we know what's going on, going to be out every single day.
Wow.
I mean, so her mom literally quit her job to do this.
To help her run her business. That's crazy.
That's how big this is.
She must have a really prime location.
I got to think that these are pretty darn good baked goods.
Well, yeah, and then their social media campaign must be bringing people there, too.
Isla's Divine Desserts is the name of the business. It's taught her a lot about business management and pricing, a skill that she otherwise would not have developed at this young age.
No kidding.
When I started the business, I thought that I would just go to my parents for all the business stuff because I didn't think that I'd be very good at it. But I'm learning how to price things out and how much things cost and how much it costs to make something. And I think that's a good skill to learn. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that I started doing that, Isla said. You can taste Isla's delicious homemade baked goods yourself by visiting her website, Isla Divine Desserts. Just one word, Isla Divine Desserts. You type that in your search bar, you'll be able to find it. Fascinating.
That's awesome and good for her.
I have no idea what the shelf life of something like this is. I don't know if mom is going to be able to have that, you know, have quit her job and not have to necessarily go back to the work.
I was going to say, baked goods usually last between 3 to 7 days, James. But, you know.
Nice. Yes. Very true. Very true.
But no, you make a good point because you wouldn't think that quitting a job, because I mean obviously Isla still has to go to school, she's 11. So mom quitting her day job and basically obviously must be working during the week to keep Isla's business going. Who knows?
So I think that there's some cool things that you can take from this story. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, hey, that is really, I mean, from Isla's perspective, I'm looking at this as a parent. You know, hey, look how much I'm supporting my kid. Look at how you know, I'm empowering my child, and I'm right there for my kid. I can't imagine a parent out there that wouldn't want to do this. That wouldn't want to be there for their kid like that in that regard. But you're not a great example to your kid if you quit your job and you need that job eventually, like down the line. We don't know the job she quit. She may have just quit like a basic job that she had just started or hadn't been at very long or anything. So I'm doing a little projecting here. Mm-hmm. I think I'm, you know, thinking of putting myself in these shoes. I'm not going to leave a job I've been in 20 years to do something like this that it you know, only 3 months. I know it, you know, only it's been doing good in these mm-hmm. 3 months, but it's only been 3 months.
Right. And at 11 years old, is she going to have the same interests in a year? Like, is this a lifelong business venture for her?
That's a fair question.
A really hard thing to decide when you're 11. I don't think your brain isn't developed enough to make that kind of decision. Now, if the mom wants to take this business on and do this for, because Isla had to learn to bake somewhere.
Right.
I mean, chances are her mother is also a good baker.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she saw this as a launching platform to create something herself. Maybe Isla will continue with it, but it's hard to say.
Yeah. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back into some more fun coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. They, of course, are going to be joining us at about 8:04 this morning. Looking forward to that. Right now, Melissa and James here with you at 7:48 on the clock. We hope you're having a great start to your morning out there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. I told Melissa, Seth, you know, this time of year, as I was, it tends to be a bit slower news-wise. Not to say that there isn't any news, obviously. Melissa knows that better than any of us. I would say that, like, the story, kind of stories that we like to do around here,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the morning show, there's not as many of them as there tends to be, you know, other times of year. So it's like, hey, guys, whatever you guys got, bring it to the show here. Melissa sent me an email right away this morning with some story ideas, and two of those I had on here. I thought that was so awesome. No, I thought that was great. We're on the same page. We're
doesn't help you much then, but.
It was worth it, though. I think it was cool. I liked that that happened. It made me smile. It was a nice moment.
Good.
And this is one of them. So, and we go to the Wisconsin Public Radio for this story right here. The Biden's Mark Hanukkah with the White House gets its own menorah for the first time.
Wow.
This year, to celebrate the ancient Jewish Festival of Lights, the White House added a menorah to its holiday lineup for the first time. The 9-pronged candelabra was created by the executive residence carpentry shop out of wood removed from the building in 1950 during a Truman-era renovation, the White House says. It now sits in Cross Hall between portraits of former President Jimmy Carter and Lyndon Johnson as part of this year's We the People-themed holiday display. The White House welcomed roughly 50,000 visitors each holiday season, in addition to offering virtual tours of the decorations. Various menorahs of special significance have been loaned to the White House over the years. A 2007 event included the parents of Murder Wall Street reporter Daniel Pearl. I remember this, and a menorah that had belonged to his great grandfather. Mm. And in 2010, then President Barack Obama lit candles on a menorah that had been recovered from a Louisiana synagogue hit by Hurricane Katrina. Mm. So I remember some of these, but there's never been a permanent menorah sitting there. There's not; they haven't had that before.
It's cool that it's crafted out of lumber from the actual White House.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I think that's just incredibly, like, really creative and a very cool idea. Mm-hmm. And the Biden administration marked the first night of Hanukkah on Sunday by publicly denouncing anti-Semitism after a rise in troubling incidents and hate speech has occurred. And we touched on this a bit yesterday. We've touched on this quite a bit, actually.
Because we have to, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is really cool. This is great. I'm very happy that they're doing this, and I'm very thankful that they're doing this. Mm-hmm. As a tribe member means a lot. Representation means a lot. I also can't help myself. Where's this been? And not just Jews. I mean, Kwanzaa should be represented as well. Other things should be represented. This isn't even one of our high holy days. Like, Hanukkah is a great holiday. It's a really wonderful holiday. And part of what I like about Hanukkah is very similar to Christmas, actually, where I think Christmas is, it has its religious tones and aspects, and I don't want to take anything light of that, and I want to give all the respect in the world to those things. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of people would agree Christmas, the Christmas spirit, is something everybody can feel, no matter what religion you are, if you are religion or not. Mm-hmm. I think that we can all share Christmas spirit. We can all embody that and try to give that to each other.
Yeah.
Hanukkah has a very similar thing when it comes to hope and belief. Mm-hmm. The idea that this oil lasts, I thought this oil was only going to last for an hour or a night or whatever, and boom, it lasted 8 days. That's a miracle. That created hope in me. That created, you know, some of that. And I think that's something we can all take from.
Yeah, absolutely.
But representation is very important. And the purpose of the not only the White House, but our government, of our politics, is to represent all of us, mm-hmm. not just one group. And if I look at the White House, if I look at the president over the generations, like, it's pretty, you know, same old, same old, same old, same old, a little different here, same old, same old. I mean, there isn't a whole lot of representation outside of one group of people.
Mm-hmm.
The order, I think it's great. I think it's wonderful they're doing this. I also think it's a little, you know, hey, where have you been?
Yeah.
I think you can do both.
Yes.
I think you can have, be appreciative and thankful that they're doing something, and at the same time, you know, this should have probably been done a while ago.
Well, and it's important to acknowledge that it hasn't been done, and now things are changing. We have our first indigenous person from Alaska in Congress. We have our representation within our government is starting to become more diverse and to represent actual people. There's a senator who's having a hard time finding a place to live in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
because he can't afford the rent.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to hope that people like that are going to actually be the voice of the rest of us mm-hmm. that are also living with those situations and those conditions.
Yeah. And at the same time, our most recent presidential election, we chose between two 70-year-old white guys.
Like, yep.
I 1,000% agree with you, Melissa, and I have the same hope that you do. We've talked about this, you and mm-hmm. I, off air, on air, and that. But then I come back and I see that, you know, and then I think about the next presidential election and what they're talking about. We don't know yet. We've got a long ways to go between now and then, who is going to be in the finals and all this stuff and everything. But mm-hmm. again, when we're looking at who's going to be in the running right now, who they're talking about, if it is who they're talking about, the people that they're talking about, we're stuck with a very similar thing. This time, what, we got a 60-year-old white guy? Like, it got that much better. Hey, you know? And this isn't a shot at white guys. This isn't a shot like that or anything like that. Don't turn it and don't twist it on me like that. What I'm saying is that I would say the same thing if all we ever had were white Jewish guys or black mm-hmm. guys or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
No.
You can't have just one thing.
Population in our country is not just old white guys.
Yes.
Or old Jewish guys.
That isn't the dominant, none of this is the dominant people either. You know?
No.
I mean, if we're really gonna represent, we have to really represent. We have to really be able to have that.
One thing that is written on the ceiling at the Capitol in Madison is, the will of the people is the law of the land. Mm-hmm. And that is something I think that has gotten pushed aside and forgotten for far too long in politics. And they need to be reminded of that.
I think we can chew gum and walk at the same time. We can look at something like this and say, man, that's cool. That's great. So glad they did this. Everything you said about the creation of the menorah itself is so darn cool. We can talk about an hour of that just because I like wood carving. I just think it's fun.
The fact that the White House has its own carpenter, also
right
cool.
On, yes, I didn't even know that. That's a whole other story I want to talk about there and everything. But this stuff matters. And if I would love that there's so much other coverage of this. There's so many other people talking about this subject, about hitting on this subject. So many people that come from an area that actually with some stake in the game talking about this. That just doesn't happen, though. That is not the case. Mm-hmm. So we got to take care of this stuff. We have to cover these things.
Right.
And talk about them in depth like this. Although I really would like to talk about the carpentry part of this. I really, because I always thought if you had like a chef in-house like that. There's one thing to have a chef in-house. It's another to like, whatever you want, we'll get it. We'll make it. Like if it's 9 at night and you want filet mignon, we're making it. We're figuring it out. I feel like I would take such advantage of that, and I feel like a jerk even just thinking of it. If I had my own carpenter, oh, wow. Oh, man. Like, you wouldn't, like, projects you wouldn't even think of, I think you would like, create. Like, you're sitting there at, like, 11 at night, and you're like, I think that'd be kind of fun to do. Call up your carpenter. Let's do it. Let's get it done. I want to make a menorah. Let's do it.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
I don't know which one I would take more advantage of. I don't know which one of those people would dislike me more. Like they're voting against me, not because they disagree with my politics, just because they don't want me calling them at midnight. Hey, I thought of making my own menorah.
Not a new thing. Could you just sleep like a normal person, please?
President Mail, if I really, I just want to sleep. Oh, come on. It'll be fun. It'll be great. Come on. I got to get up early, too.
Yeah. You can have a nap tomorrow.
The president is late for his speech because he was up all night making projects with his in-house carpenter.
Everybody gets a handmade menorah this year for Christmas.
Policies are lacking. Like, the bills are piling up and all this, but everybody's got their own little handmade little cart or something that me and the carpenter made. I can think of quite a few things that
spice
I would really...
Spice boxes.
Yeah. Ooh, there's another thing you could make. Yes. What a spice rack.
Yeah.
You know, I've always actually, like, I've looked into, like, this is a long time ago, but ex really wanted their own spice rack, and I was going to make it. We broke up before I actually got the chance to make it, but I looked into those before. That would be a lot of fun, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of those that are pretty cool. If you would like to see this complete article, it is at wisconsinpublicradio.org, WPR.org. You can find the complete article. It just have some pretty cool things in there as far as the people that are going to be coming to do services and such. It does look like they will have somebody every day, all the nights of Hanukkah.
Nice.
So that is pretty cool. Last night, I do want to send a shout out and a thank you to my oldest, Bria, for hosting Hanukkah's second night. She has not gotten the chance to see the ceremony and see it done by professionals, if you will. And I don't like to brag or anything, but I have the poem, the prayer, memorized.
Ooh.
I have been doing it since birth, so I don't want to brag or anything, but it was such a nice moment. It felt so good. And this is a really good example of this. Bria is not Jewish. She has Jewish in her blood. She has the creed in her, but it's not necessarily her religion, her faith.
Right.
But she still can practice. She still can keep up the tradition. I got her own menorah, and she'll be able to pass that on to her kids and stuff.
Nice.
And just keep the tradition alive. It's so fascinating and cool to think about how history has done that, how history has been kept alive, all of our histories, by our own people. You know, decade after decade, century after century, handing these things down, handing these stories down, and continuing them. As much as a tradition like that, as big of any other tradition, not even that have no religious you know, ties or holiday ties or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Just think our stories, our storytelling is one of the most fascinating things of human history.
Yes, indeed.
Take a break right here. We'll get to some other storytelling from CBS News. And we'll come back with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center and plenty more. It is Melissa and James taking through your morning here at WFHR.